Tonight, it's the first part of a four-part sermon series on stewardship. Tonight, I'm looking particularly at stewardship of our financial resources. In the coming weeks, we will look at stewardship of time, of talents, and of God's word. So I've called this sermon series Get Real, Stewards of God, because I believe that stewardship is a really important part of our relationship with God, and it's a powerful part of helping us to make that relationship with God more real. And tonight, the basic text that I'll be using in preaching the sermon is Jesus' parable of the talents found in Matthew chapter 25. That's on page 702 of your Pew Bible if you want to read along with that. And I'll go through this as we go through the sermon, but let me just begin by reading a few verses from Matthew 25, verse 4. Jesus says, "Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent. Each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with the 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug up all in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you have entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." In the parable of the talents, as Jesus is teaching, and he's teaching about stewardship, we notice that stewardship has three real aspects to it. First of all, there is a real gift that God gives to us. With that gift comes real responsibility. And with the responsibility of using the gift well, we enter into real joy. And I'm going to unpack each of those as we go through. First of all, real gift. This is a gift. The master does not need to entrust the money to his servants. He could have put it in the bank. In fact, he says later on to the third servant that he could just as well have done that. God gives us a real gift. And he really wants us to use it. Next one. Secondly, God is not joking, and the master is not joking when he entrusts his money to the servants. And when God entrusts us with material blessings, we have a real responsibility. Our choices and our decisions with what we do with money and material goods make a difference. And they can make an eternal difference, not only for us, but also for people around us. So there is a real responsibility to him. God is not fooling around when he entrusts his good gifts to us. He entrusted his property to them, Matthew 25 says, and then he returned and settled accounts with them. There is a responsibility of stewardship. This is, at first it seems scary, but actually it's a great privilege. God wants us to work with him in the gracious work of bringing good news and hope and life to other people. That's an awesome privilege. Finally, there is real joy. In the NIV, the parable has the master saying, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Come and share your master's happiness." But really, those words are not strong enough. It should be translated, "Come and enter into your Lord's joy." As we engage with a generous God who freely gives to us so much, God invites us to share in his joy. Because God delights in giving. God delights in giving good gifts to us as his children. And God knows that when we enter into good stewardship, we can also delight in doing and in using that what God has given us. This real gift helps us to understand the very first and most foundational principle of Christian stewardship. The world around us, and we often ourselves, have this attitude that says, mine. What mine is mine, and what's yours, if I can get my hands on it, will probably be mine too. But this principle of stewardship helps us to understand that it's not mine. It's actually, Axel, entrusted to me by God. Everything that I have, everything that you have, is not yours. It is a gift from a gracious God. It says entrusted, by the way. It is a gift from a gracious God that is entrusted to you to use well. I'll have to use my ability of putting presents together to rectify that problem. Okay, thanks. So that's the first and most important principle of stewardship. It's not mine, it's being entrusted to me by God. Let's look a little bit more closely at the gift that the master gives. A talent is not a coin. A talent is a sum of money that is equal to about 6,000 days' wages. That's about 20 years' worth of work. Kind of average it out across the Australian income, that's about $1 million. So when the master entrusts 5 talents to someone, 2 talents to someone else, and 1 to someone else, he is being incredibly generous. What is the talent in financial terms that God has entrusted to you? If you want to know where you stand, there's a website called the Global Riches. Has anyone ever gone to that website? You type in your income, you have to do it in US dollars because it's not in Aussie dollars, and it ranks you. And it says, you are the 100 millionth richest person in the world. This puts you in the top 1.7% of all the world's wealthy people. That's what it did for me the other day. We have been placed beyond most of our comprehension in terms of the financial resources that God has given to each one of us and the ability to generate wealth. God has entrusted each one of us with a huge gift. And it's simply from his generosity. So the first thing about stewardship is that God gives us a real gift. All that is ours comes from him. Secondly, Jesus leads us into a real responsibility for the gift that God has given to us. I'm not going to go into detail about it tonight, but a really key passage about how we as Christians steward our financial resources is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9. And Leona read out some of those verses to us before. It's actually quite an astounding passage because the Macedonians, who are incredibly poor, actually urgently beg Paul for the privilege of sharing in the offering to the saints. And then Paul goes on to talk to the Corinthian church about how to steward financial resources. And what we find from that is that Christian stewardship of financial resources is responsive. It is first fruits giving. It is proportional. And above all, it is joyful. And I'm just going to look at each of those points a little bit more closely. First of all, responsive. All of our stewardship is a response to God's gracious gift to us. We don't initiate it. We don't give to God in order to earn his favor. He has already given all that he can to us. So this comes from God's grace. It's first fruits giving. This means that we understand that all that we have comes comes from God, the proportion which we give back to God for his poor people to take care of it, and for his work through the church to proclaim the good news of the gospel, is not like how much is left over after I've paid all my other things. It's actually the first priority for us. The first line in our budget is giving to God's poor through charity, giving to God's church for the work of spreading the gospel. We discover over and over again in the New Testament that Christian stewardship of financial resources is proportional. That is, that God wants us to look at all that he has given us and say, of all that God has given me, what proportion or what percentage does God want me to return to him for the tasks of taking care of his poor and of spreading his gospel? Hang on. Yeah. This principle of proportionality means that if, say, you lose your job, or you're not getting as many shifts, or whatever, the amount that you give will decrease, but the proportion in terms of what God has given you will not decrease. Now, I'm just going to read one Bible passage about proportionality, and it's from 1 Corinthians chapter 16, where Paul writes at the end of his letter, "On the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with his income, saving it up so that when I come, no collections will have to be made." God directs us to give in proportion and in keeping with what he has given to us. Now, nowhere in the New Testament does Jesus or Paul or anyone else say that you should give 10%. That the figure is between you and God by believing Spirit. But what God does ask us to do is to respond to what he has given. Recognize that all is his by giving first to him and his word a proportion of all that we have to do. Christian stewardship, therefore, is also planned. It's not haphazard. Paul talks very strongly about planning the Corinthians here. He also talks about that in the passage from 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. It's not like getting to church and going, "Oh, I'm going to break up my world this week. Can I put that on my prayer plate?" No, it's actually planned in as part of our view. Just in terms of proportionality and first fruits and planning, these responsibilities of Christian stewardship are not just for individuals, but also for congregations and gatherings of God's people. It has always been core business of the church that the fellowship offering, what we know as offerings, has been primarily for two purposes. First of all, to take care of the poorest of the poor. It's no accident in Matthew 25 that the parable of the talents comes right before Jesus' story of the sheep and the goats. That's the accounting that he is talking about that each one of us will face. And the basic question is, how did you respond to the least of these brothers and sisters of mine in a material way? That's the basic question that Jesus will ask our faith communities. And I'd like to say, well done, by the way. I think the LSF is very generous in terms of giving outside of itself in mission to God's poor and for the spread of the gospel. You're doing a fantastic job. But as I was researching this sermon, I discovered that there's one of the large churches in America which gives 50% of all of its offerings to the poor and to mission. In other words, they refuse to spend more on their own internal workings than they can give to those. Wouldn't that be a great target to aim for? Maybe we could up our mission percentage by a couple of percent per year and aim towards giving away as much as we can for our purposes. Excellent. Above all, though, Christian giving and stewardship of our financial resources is a joyful thing. I'm sure you've heard this verse many, many times. It's from 2 Corinthians chapter 8, where Paul says, chapter 9, verse 7. Each one should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Have you heard that one before? The Greek word for cheerful is hilarion. It's the same root as our English word hilarious. God loves a hilarious giver. God loves someone who gets the joke that we don't have to be into this anxiety-producing, self-protecting, grasping kind of life that the world around us is. God loves someone who gets the joke that it is God who provides in the first place, and he loves to give, and he loves us to love giving. Someone once said to me, and it has stuck in my mind ever since, if you're not giving cheerfully, you're either giving too much or too little. I think it's very true. And as God has led our family into stewardship, I have found this to be one of the most joyful parts of Christian life, because it gives God the chance to show that he can and will provide for all of them. And this leads into the final part of the sermon. Christian stewardship leads us into real joy. Real joy. God says, well done, good and faithful servant. Come and enter into the joy of the Lord. Thanks, Lord. Through his teaching and his giving to us, Jesus wants to take us from fear to faith, from greed to generosity, from anxiety to joy. You'll notice in the parable of the talents in Matthew 25 that the opposite of faith is not unbelief, it's fear. The third servant comes to the master and he says, I was afraid of you, so I hid your talent in the ground, and here it is. And the master says to him, you wicked servant, how could you be afraid of me when I have been so generous to you? I've given you $1 million, and you think that I'm a hard nut. What is this? Why don't you trust me? So Jesus wants to take us from fear to faith, from greed to generosity, from anxiety to joy. How does he do that? Well, there's a great deal of gospel in the message of Christian stewardship. First of all, God is the giver. And not only does he give us material possessions, but God gives his most precious treasure to us first. He gives the gift of his own son. Paul puts this wonderful gospel brilliantly in Romans chapter 8, verse 31 to 32. He says, what then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? God is the prime steward, and he chooses to give to us his most precious treasure, the life of his one and only son. And so Jesus' presence with us deals with the root cause of our sin. Ever since the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve reached out to take the fruit that God had said, do not take, our basic problem has been independence and lack of trust in God. We have always thought that maybe we could do it better. That maybe there's something better than what God himself wants to provide for us. And this lack of trust is at the root of all of our sin. But Jesus, in his life, was fully dependent on his heavenly Father. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he prays, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. On the cross, with his last breath, he cries out, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Fully dependent, even at the forgives our idolatry. He dethrones our idols. He breaks the power of lack of trust in God. And he calls us back into that relationship of joyful dependence that we were created for. And finally, in Jesus' teaching, he gives us great and precious promises about stewardship. If God has given all this to you to start with, and his own son, won't he provide for what you need? That's what we read in the Gospel reading just before. Some of Jesus' promises are absolutely astounding. If you take them at face value, they're like world-changing promises. Jesus says, "Give and it will be given to you. A good measure pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." Paul says that those who sow generously will also reap generously. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, "God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things at all times, having all that you need," that's a lot of rules, "you will abound in every good work." And Paul also writes, "God will also always make you rich enough to be generous at all times." Stewardship of financial possessions, it's a real gift that God has given to you. He has also entrusted you with real responsibility to use it well. And as you do, you enter into real joy. The real joy of a generous God who cannot help but give and who longs for his children to be able to do the same. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift through Jesus Christ our Lord.